Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon's mimic offs when they do, you know, their James Bond, their Sean Connery or their David Bowie, I reckon Tom Hogan and I are going to do a Richard Mercer impression off in our show about love, in his show, talking about his show about love song dedications. I dedicate my first song. It'll be Madness's Our House to Jimmy Thompson, who's been travelling and hasn't been able to hear the program. But, Jimmy, we've missed you, and here's Madness's Our House. Hmm?
That's very good, James.
Was it good? Oh, they're doing your Sean Connery. Ah, yeah, that's very good. Is that as much of your Sean Connery as you got?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Say, take this submarine down from Hunt for Red October.
Take this submarine down.
Oh, that's very good. I was right there. Jimmy Thompson from flat-chat.com.au, real estate expert on, journalist with whose brief is Strata, whose beat for many years has been wandering around the Strata properties of New South Wales, is with us this afternoon. You can jump on in 1300 222 702 if you've got questions, things happening in your block of flats, in your units or wherever. Give us a yell. Jimmy may well be able to help us out. Before we get to that, though, we bring to you the latest from the United Kingdom, from whence Jimmy has just returned. Reports from the old country, Jimmy. How is the old blighty?
Falling apart.
Just slightly.
Yeah. Amazing. Boris Johnson. Mm. Yeah. And Julie. Tribute from Julie Bishop. Mm. Her friend,
and said, you know, we'll be making a magnificent contribution in public life in the future, I heard this morning, you know.
I could imagine those two going out on the razzle.
Oh, don't. Oh, that's a naughty image right now. That's not good.
Felt very civilized. Yeah. You know.
Oh, what, a bit like Alexander Downer having a drink with a US diplomat sort of thing. That kind of vibe, you're seeing.
All sorts of secrets being outdoing each other in state secrets.
Which is Boris's club? Is he boots or whites?
Oh, probably all of them.
All of them?
All of the ones he hasn't been banned from.
So they'd be off to the club. But yes, you had a nice trip away?
I went to Portugal and foolishly thought that cycling a couple of times a week was a good training for walking 20 kilometres across sand dunes for 6 days in a row. It turns out it's not.
Is that you didn't walk the Camino, did you?
I didn't do the Camino. I did the Rota Vicentino.
Oh, the Rota Vicentino. Is it what?
Is it what?
Rota what?
Vincent. It's spelt V-I-C, but apparently pronounced Vicentino.
Vicentino. And what is the Rota Vicentino?
It's the route, hence the Rota. It's not a list of people whose turn it is to do things. Mm. From St. Petersburg, I think. And all the way to San Vicente, which is in Portugal.
But you didn't do that in 6 days. You did a bit of it.
I did a bit of it.
You did the Portuguese bit.
I did, yeah. I did the hard bit.
What made you think cycling is good preparation for a walk?
I'm not a fitness expert, I suppose.
Do you know what I think is good preparation for a walk?
Walking, perhaps, yeah. That's what they say. But you know me, a bit of a rebel.
Oh, that's true. Never get there by a straight line if you have to.
Yeah.
And beautiful walk?
Oh, stunning. Yeah. And then you turn up in a little village at night and you know, it's like you go into a restaurant and a bottle of wine is like $8 for very drinkable wine and fresh fish and seafood. And if I'd just done that and not done the walking.
Oh.
And then there's the Portuguese custard tarts, which are just ridiculous.
Do they have them there too? Because they're quite popular here.
Well, I said, oh, you've got these.
We call them Portuguese custard tarts as well.
Yeah,
did you say that?
They don't.
Don't they? What do they call them?
They call them
custard tarts.
Dinata.
Wow, you've soaked up the local culture, I can tell.
Yeah, can I have one of those something dinatas, please? Two, in fact. I'll have.
Jimmy Thompson is with us from flat-chat.com.au. If you've got questions about Strata, if that's your living arrangement, and something's going on with the body corporate or with your management committee or the owner's corp, whatever it is, if you've got some issues with neighbours and you want to bring them up this afternoon, Jimmy may well be able to help you, so feel free to jump on in. Now, while you're away, I think we sorted out what we should do about Airbnb. Is that right?
Well, they waited until I was out of the country.
I think that was wise.
And then, you know, panicked, of course. They thought, we've only got a few days while he's not here, while he's walking
and
eating custard tarts.
That's right. Probably can't hear us.
Pastel de nata.
So pastel de nata. Very good. Okay, yes.
And and they thought, quick. And they said, what will we do? Oh, let's have no restrictions. And they had the press, if you recall, the press conference all set up. And then somebody went, what? And suddenly we have probably, I would say, one of the most reasonable sets of rules that I've seen anywhere, which is that owners' corporations can say, we don't want them in our building.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just pass a bylaw. Pass a bylaw which, for the past 2 years, fair trading has been saying would not be legal because of some other law.
Right.
Suddenly it will be.
Right.
And
okay.
Without changing that law, by the way.
So the owners' court can say, not in our building, with full stop. Just can't happen at all.
Yeah.
And are there minimum or maximum levels at which you're allowed to have it?
Well, if you don't have that kind of bylaw in your building, you can only have it for 180 days a year, which is, you know, almost nothing.
Right.
Or as the minister himself pointed out, that's every weekend.
Yeah.
At which we all go, whoo.
Right. Right.
Every weekend, new people living next door to you.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes.
How could that possibly go wrong?
All right. So that's the rules around strata.
Yeah.
We don't have similar rules on a house.
Houses. You can go crazy.
Go do what you like. 365.
Yeah.
Okay. And in general, what have you heard from with the world of strata? They go, yep, fair enough. That's good.
Yeah. There's some people who disagree with me. Amazingly, there's some people who quite rightly say, hang on, we bought our apartment on the basis that it was residential only. That was the basis that we wanted to live in a residence, not a hotel.
Hmm.
And we don't care about your bylaw thing. We want to have our building the way it was supposed to be, which is residential only. And that is actually a very reasonable argument. They've just suddenly changed the rules on people. So that, you know, you could have bought into an apartment, spent a lot of money in a nice place, and because it's a nice place, you suddenly find that all your neighbours are letting their apartments on Airbnb. And and I think...
But the bylaw covers that, doesn't it?
But if the majority of your neighbours are investors who think, ooh, I can make twice as much money on Airbnb, or the other, Airbnb are not the only people doing this, by the way.
Mm.
They've just become like the generic term. And if the majority, or more to the point, if 25% of your owners, your fellow owners say, we don't want a bylaw, then no bylaw would get up.
Right.
And you're thinking you've bought a nice place to live in as a resident, suddenly you're thinking, I might put this on Airbnb as well.
Mm. So before we know it, the whole place is there and everyone's moved out somewhere else trying to avoid
what's happening elsewhere.
If you've got questions on this or any other issues that may be affecting the life you would otherwise enjoy in a strata environment, then 1-300-222-702 is the number to have a talk to Jimmy Thompson. Dennis?
Jimmy and James.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a problem, and hopefully that delightful Scottish man can help me.
That's Sean Connery he's talking about.
Yeah.
No, well, I'm Saturday, but anyway. I live in a strata town, a villa in Greystanes. A couple of years ago, I ran behind, about 5 years ago, in monthly strata payments. My fault, nobody else's fault. Anyway, I said, okay, I'll make them up, but I didn't quite make them up as much as I should have done. Anyway, they began imposing a fine of $50 a month for any payments I'm behind. And I then got my umbrage and said, I'm not going to pay anything because you have no authority whatsoever to fine me, a late payment. Nothing in my agreement says a late payment. Anyway, I refused to pay. 2 years ago, during a strata meeting, which I didn't attend, they called for a vote to impose fines to people who are behind in their strata payments.
Hmm.
And, of course, it's up now to about 6,000 because, I make my payments now regular to that, but I will not pay those back fines.
Can I just jump in?
Yeah.
They don't have the authority, as far as I know, to just make up the fines that they think you should be paying. But the strata law says if you get behind with your strata fees, your levies, then a penalty interest of 10% should be imposed. And in fact, your owners' corporation has to pass a bylaw or a ruling not to impose that.
Oh, okay.
It's a statutory imposition of a 10% interest fee.
So, is that what you were being charged, Dennis?
Well, I was two payments behind, and they were. When I got a letter from them telling them they're going to charge me $50 a month in interest because on the back payments, I point blank refused to pay it.
Yep. It sounds like the 10% though, doesn't it? $50 a month.
I know my strata title with them was only $450 each 3 months.
Right, so Dennis. Can I just say I'm a bit intrigued. You're behind, but you're outraged. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're behind in your strata payments. What's your outrage? What's the basis of your outrage?
No, I don't mind paying the, updating it, but I refuse.
But you're still
to
behind.
Pay.
You still haven't caught up with your strata payments, right?
Well, I don't know what they are because they've been imposing $50 a month and they're up to about $6,000. I would possibly
I have an answer for you.
Yeah.
And that, go to Fair Trading, ask for mediation at Fair Trading. And you want your committee to send somebody along, and Fair Trading will establish what you should have paid and what you should be paying. That would be by agreement. They can't enforce that. But if you're not happy with that, then you go to the tribunal, NCAT, and you say, I want a ruling on this. That's the easiest way to sort this out.
Dennis, good luck with that. And it's a good place to go to get that sorted. I mean, in general, you're meant to pay your strata fees. If you're behind in your strata fees, what rights do you have as such?
Well, it's amazing how your rights evaporate because you can no longer vote. At meetings, you can't even if you're on a committee, and you fall behind with your strata fees. I think you shouldn't be voting for anything when you're on the committee.
Right.
So you've lost your representation, and that's a huge thing. That's why people say we're going to have a strata a levy strike. And until this is resolved. And I said, well, you have a levy strike, it's never going to be resolved.
Right. Dennis, thanks for your call. 1-300-222-702 if you'd like to join us. Bob, what do you want to ask?
Just a really, really quick one. Residential tenants, lessors, are they able to attend AGMs? And I know they wouldn't be able to vote, but they might be able to raise issues and get involved.
Yep.
Yeah, I believe they are now because the tenants... the new strata law brought in this thing that if you had more than 50% tenants, then they could elect somebody to be a representative on the committee, even though they couldn't vote for anything and could be asked to leave the room when you were talking about the interesting stuff like people who haven't paid their levies.
Right.
But that would assume that a tenant would be allowed to attend an AGM because they have to find out what's going on.
Right. They have to know that there is an AGM. Is that what you mean?
Sorry?
Is that what you meant? That they have to know... There is an AGM.
Well, they're entitled to know that there's an AGM, but the question was, are they entitled to attend even though they can't necessarily speak or vote?
Right. Why do you want to go, Bob?
Oh, no, we just got some 25% of the building is tenants, and we're thinking, do we invite them along? Good opportunity to meet them. It's all pretty low.
Oh, yeah. I say you want to invite the tenants.
I would say that's a terrific idea.
Am I obliged to invite them?
No.
Right. I can pick and choose.
But it sounds like, well, when
it's
you
a
say
good idea,
when
though.
You say pick and choose, you say you want to invite some tenants, not all tenants?
No, they're all good.
They're all good.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea.
But you're saying
idea.
It's a good idea. Why is it a good idea? Just to...
Because it's a community.
Yeah.
And, you know, this idea of treating tenants like second-class citizens is so old school.
Yeah.
You know, they're all part of a community. Some people have been tenants. Some people will be tenants again. Mm-hmm. Some people own properties in one place and are tenants somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, it's a community. Keep people talking to each other.
Bob, you going to do it?
Oh, for sure, definitely. It's, we talk to them, as you said, second class. It's not exactly good. When you talk to them, you do have a different way of talking to them. But it'd be good to have them along and they'd know what's going on, what we've got planned for the next year.
Yeah, terrific, Bob. That's great. Thanks so much for the call, and that does sound good. Jimmy, building community one AGM at a time.
There you go.
That's where you're at.
There you go.
It's beautiful. Jimmy Thompson's from flat-chat.com.au. And you can go to that site to look for all of his articles and things that he's investigated in the past, or you can call him right now. 1-300-222-702 is our number. Anne?
Hi.
How can we help?
I've purchased a unit. Settlement is in 10 days, and I want to apply to have a floating laminate floor in the unit. And the agent, the strata agent, refuses to acknowledge me as the owner to be, even though the solicitor's faxed all the documents, and won't talk until settlement, which means my move will then be delayed at least 2 weeks.
Yes.
Is there anything I can do about that?
So you're trying to get approval for this flooring arrangement before settlement?
Yeah, or at least just the application initiated, because I understand it's got to go before the strata committee, even if it's by an email, vote. But if they won't do anything, it means that the whole process could take 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. How about getting the vendor to apply?
Look, the vendor is 89 in a nursing home, and he's very stressed. So it's very hard for him to deal with that.
Right.
His sons did actually help me getting a form, but
Is it one of those things that really there's not much you can do? Legally, you're not the owner till settlement. Legally, they can't,
Being reasonable. I mean, welcome to the building.
Right.
We're going to impose some rules on you before you've even stepped through the door.
I know that, but isn't it sort of like it's not your place until settlement? I mean, lots of people want this. Hey, it's settlement's in 6 weeks. Should we start the painting now? Well, no, you can't. It's not your place.
But what happens if it goes, shouldn't, isn't there a thing that you're supposed to insure it between exchange and settlement?
Yeah.
So it is kind of yours.
I'm not going to do any work.
I get that.
Approval in.
Yeah. And who is it that said that they don't even want to talk to you?
The strata manager.
Right.
Yeah.
Ignore the strata manager, because he is a servant of the committee. Find the name of the secretary of the committee and write to or call them and say, can we just get this rolling now?
And good luck with that, and thanks so much for your call, 1-300-222-702. Hello, Rosalie.
Hi, James. My query is regarding strata AGMs. The last one that we held was 2 years ago in September. I asked the previous strata manager to hold one. He assured me he would have got email proof, and then he left.
Mm-hmm.
I've discussed this with the next strata manager, and it almost went ahead, and then there was some hiccup about forms not being returned. But I'd really like to go ahead with this issue, because I feel that we should meet our commitment with the owners' committee. Now, do I go to Fair Trading? What do I do?
Well, basically, if you go to Fair Trading, it would be on the basis of, can you tell the strata manager to hold an AGM? But I would think before that, you would probably be saying to the strata manager, this is ridiculous. We are in breach of the Act, which requires us to have an AGM every year. Please organise this as soon as possible, or I am going to start taking action. And the only person I can take action against is you.
Does the strata manager, is it beholden on them to organise the AGM, or can the committee organise an AGM?
The committee can organise their own AGM. The strata manager tends to have all the infrastructure for doing this.
Right.
But basically, the secretary of the committee can send out the material, you send out the agendas, but you've also got all the accounts and stuff that have to be brought up. And it's really a case of the strata manager getting his or her act together, and that sounds like what the problem has been.
Is that the problem, Rosalie?
Well, I've discussed it via email and suggested that we're not meeting our legal commitments, and that to do so we must hold the AGM, and it just hasn't been forthcoming.
So try what Jimmy's saying, go to Fair Trading and tell them whether they're about to take action against you?
Yes.
I think you've got to, eventually you've just got to get tough with people and say to the strata manager, by the way, you're actually in breach of your agreement with us. Because you've got to keep us legal, and you're the one who's stopping us from being legal.
Yeah. The other thing with these sort of things, I wonder how much of this sort of stuff we deflect because it arrives via email. Hi, I'd like to make an appointment to come and see you.
Yes.
Did Rosalie take two others from the committee, turn up at the office?
Yeah.
You know, maybe, and that's what you're saying. If we can't resolve this afternoon, you know, where we're heading off to next, you know.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, you've got to get tough.
Yeah, Rosalie, nice to hear from you this afternoon. I think Rosalie's going to get. She sounds like she'll get tough.
She's going to get stuck in there.
She's fired up. Yeah. Off she goes, Margaret.
Yes, hello.
How can we help, Margaret?
Oh yes, I'm part of an earnest corporation for apartments in the block. And I was wondering, are you able to raise a special levy if there is enough money in the accounts to pay for anything that is, any of the jobs that need to be done on the apartment?
So why then do you need a special levy?
Well, yeah, that was my question, because I voted against it, and the other three owners of the apartments voted for it.
But what was the levy for?
More than adequate funds to cater for what needs to be done at the moment.
But so tell me what needs to be done.
Well, repair of a staircase. We have about $30,000 in the account, and otherwise just very, very minor things, nothing.
Right. And so they'd rather keep the money in the account, get a special levy and pay for the staircase, for example?
No, they just wanted to top up the money in the account.
Right. What do you reckon, Jimmy?
Well, the committee, as the owners' corporation as a whole, can do whatever it wants in terms of raising money and things like that. But it sounds like it's an unfair burden on some people. And again, it would be a case of saying, well, we might need to get the work done, but we don't need to raise any extra money. Mm. So I'm going to go to fair trading.
But they've voted 3-1, she said. I mean, is it also one of those things where, well, look, you're in a committee, it votes, you lost the vote.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much 90% of the case. But you've got to bear in mind that there are some people. I mean, if you've got an older building and somebody who's been there for a while and they're on a fixed income and all that, and then three sets of young, upwardly mobile people move in who want to just, you know, they've got money.
We're going to put balconies on and a pool.
Yeah. And that person who has never envisaged this happening suddenly feels that in a lot of cases, they get driven out.
Yeah.
And I mean, already the fees are $2,000 every 3 months anyway. So we're accumulating money all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, there's more than enough money to work that needs to be done, and it's also a very well-maintained property anyway.
Is there any provision for a special levy with exemptions, like Margaret?
No.
We're going to raise a special levy, but Margaret's okay, you don't have to pay.
There is one that I can think of, one case where that would happen, and that's where the committee of the Owners' Corporation has taken an owner to NCAT, to the tribunal, and lost, and then have to raise a special levy to pay for their costs.
All right.
And the law says you can exclude the person who won the case.
Right. Yeah,
but that's the only...
That's the only one.
Yeah.
Margaret, good luck with that. And to anybody listening at Fair Trading, you're about to get quite a spike in calls this afternoon, because we've sent a lot of people your way. I mean, do you think Margaret's got much of a case? I mean, I'm just sort of seeing it as, this is how owners' corps work. You vote. If you lose about the tree or the pet or the levy, well, you're lost.
I don't believe in owners' corporations sitting on a pile of money.
Right.
And if the choice to sit on a pile of money means that one owner is going to suffer more than the rest when that special levy comes around, that just seems grossly unfair to me.
Right. All right. Michelle?
James, Jimmy, hello.
You found the right program. Now what do you need?
Every day you're my right program, James.
True.
Thank you. That's good company.
Nice, Michelle. You take as much time as you need.
God bless. Jimmy, I'm thinking of running away from home. My current situation is untenable, and I'm going to be finding myself renting alone for the very first time ever. I have no clue as to rights, responsibilities. Is there a booklet that a real estate agent has? Is there something I can read online? I have no clue.
Jimmy, might you have any publications that could help?
Well, of course. Of course. There's always Flat-Chat. This is the show, by the way, where the word hyphen gets used more than any
that's
other.
That's right.
Flat-chat.com.au. But there's also the Fair Trading. Fair Trading have a, these days, their website is pretty good. And they've got a lot of information for tenants as well. But the great one, I almost forgot about it, is Tenants Union, which is tenants.org.au. And they have fact sheets and everything you could possibly need to know. I even send landlords to that website because then they find out what their responsibilities are.
Yeah. Michelle, head there, but also Jimmy's own website's got, you know, years of articles and discussions and forums and things dealing with most things. And then look out for Jimmy popping up here whenever so you can ring and bother him in person. Mr. Thompson, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Lovely to see you.